God in heaven, we stand in awe of your unimaginable generosity. Thank you for your uncountable gifts of grace, talents, and treasures. We pray for receptive, generous hearts as you invite us to hear and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel reading this morning is from Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. You'll find this on page 1605 in your pew Bibles. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your good news that you brought to the people. Something that you did not wait for people to come to you, but you went to them, Lord. Help us to share that good news, just as the women did, and help support it with generosity and grace. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So real quick, before we go into the sermon proper, I want to just highlight a little bit. There was only 3 verses in the scripture reading today, and it's about this little transitional section where we hear about these women who actually also follow Jesus. You would consider them to be disciples. And if you read the Gospel of Luke, you'll notice that Luke often pairs stories of men and women together throughout his Gospel. There's Zechariah and Elizabeth, the beginning. Mary, Joseph. When Jesus is at the temple after he's born, there's Simeon and Anna. In Luke 7, there's the centurion whose servant was sick, and that story is paired with a widow whose son has died. And so, at this point, you realize that Luke was intentionally making a point that both men and women were a vital part of Jesus' ministry here on earth. And we don't have to go through the litany of how poorly women were treated in those days. They couldn't do much without their husbands or their fathers. They held no power in the community. So Luke here, in his inclusion of women in Jesus' story, it pushes us to see how radical Jesus' ministry truly was. Willing to break through those social norms to bring the good news. So, during my high school and college years, I worked at an orthopedic office. My mom got me the job, me and my best friend, by the way, which was great. We didn't get paid a lot, but they basically let us come in whenever we wanted to, which was awesome. So we would come in and we'd work with files, we'd do odd jobs around the office, take out the trash, replace some light bulbs here and there. And I was working there during the insane days of the drug companies spending thousands and thousands of dollars on marketing their drugs to any doctor that would listen. And those drug reps would come in and they would have lunch for the whole office. Wow, yeah! And during the heyday, it was like almost every day. So we were like, all right, let's see what we get today. Hope it's barbecue, Pierce's barbecue. We would lose our minds when Pierce's barbecue came. And they would come in, and then the drug reps would also have specific lunches for the doctors. So they got that one-on-one time. Oh, here's your sushi, Dr. Carlson. Yeah, you got to listen to what I got to say, but here's your sushi. And these drug reps would often have, you know, goodies and things for the staff to fight over. And these drug companies, for good and mostly for bad, understood evangelism, right? They never waited for the doctors to come ask. They came to the doctor. And they often came with a lot of food and a lot of fun stuff. And it didn't hurt that they had the doctor's favorite lunch in tow. And I remember talking to a few of these drug reps and hearing about how many miles a day they drove going from village to town proclaiming the good news of Vioxx. The good news, right? Now, this model of taking the good news to the streets is as old as human history. It has been the source of positive change in society. It's also been the tool for hateful mobs, as we know too well in Washington courthouse. At the courthouse, you can still go see the bullet holes, right? And mobs, that's taking it to the streets, right? Now, in Luke chapter 8, Luke begins by telling us that Jesus, too, did not wait for the people to come to him. He took his message of resurrection to the people. Luke says he traveled from one town to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And I think this is something we need to hear. Because every Sunday, I get up, I deliver a sermon to you to challenge you, to strengthen you, to remind you of God's grace and God's love. But you come to me. All I have to do is walk across that alley over there. You come here. But what would it mean for me and for you to take this message to the people where they are? Libraries have bookmobiles. Hospitals have wellness vans to serve underserved areas, to provide checkups and health screenings. Restaurants got food trucks. Oh, I'm getting hungry. How are you taking the message you receive here to the people out there? How are you taking the good news to the streets? To the unchurched, to those who have fallen away, to the hopeless. Now, this week, the nation could use some of God's good news brought to them. I wish we could all go out and drop off care packages of good news for people all over Fayette County just to change the feeling that we all have as citizens of this nation. The mass shooting last weekend in Vegas has brought darkness over us and left us with so many questions. What could lead someone down such a path that they would seek to take so many lives? Why would anyone need to own that many assault-style weapons that could so easily be modified outside of the military and police? Why do we as a nation, after mass shootings, so quickly move on as if this is the price we have to pay for our freedom? What did we lose as a nation in the lives of those 59 people? How can this brokenness be healed? Now, it turns my stomach how quickly it all happened, how senseless it all was, and I struggle to understand the good news I can bring to all this madness. Now, my only sure response, besides to give blood this week, Miriam, that's on there, because you can do that this week at Grace. Tuesday, is that right? Tuesday, go give blood. This nation needs to do that. Go do that. My only sure response is to recommit myself to following Jesus Christ better. To take Jesus' words more seriously. Now, for me, this means resisting the temptation in our culture to normalize violence. Being more careful about what I consume, the words I use, the ideas I suggest, the games my kids play that propagate the idea that violence against others is normal. Because that's the dirty little secret we don't like to talk about in this nation. which is that violence is just part of who we are. It's normal. And I know, am way too guilty of normalizing such destruction. The constant ramping up of angry, vitriolic language in our society has got to come to an end. The constant stream of hatefulness, disrespectful language used by ourselves, our politicians, has done nothing but create more tension between us, and it's done none of us any good. Stop with the casual defaming. Be careful of what you say and the ideas you spread, especially in like-minded company. This heated language that comes out of our mouths way too quickly can be used by some to justify acts of violence, to normalize violence. Now, the good news out of this situation and what we read in Luke 8 is that God can bring resurrection even out of the darkest situation. Luke 8 affirms that. And we're told that one of his disciples, the first one is mentioned, is Mary Magdalene. Now, a lot has been said about Mary, but the Bible is relatively thin on what that is. What it does say is that Mary was filled with seven demons. And you may all know that the number seven in the Bible refers to completeness. 7 days of creation, right? There was 5 loaves and 2 fish, seven. Seven was the basis for many of the Jewish festivals. But it was the number of completeness. And in this story, when we're saying that Mary Magdalene has seven demons, what Luke is saying is that she was completely and utterly lost. Demons had complete control over her mind, body, and soul. She was gone. And yet here she is now, following Jesus, putting her time, energy, money into spreading the good news of Christ Jesus. This is a woman who was gone, who was lost, who was completely filled with evil. And now she has been redeemed, resurrected, changed. Even in the darkness, Jesus can bring light. The second we hear of is Joanna. And Joanna is another one of these disciples. And Luke tells us that she was the wife of the manager of Herod's household, right? Now, you all know Herod was not a good dude. Herod was a bad dude. He beheaded John the Baptist. He would later allow for Jesus to die on the cross. He would do many other terrible things. Joanna, the wife of this the manager of Herod's household, leaves this house of privilege, this house of power, to become Jesus' disciple. And so what we're told here is that Joanna left it all, gave it all. Just as we're told that these other women who sponsored Jesus' ministries gave with a servant's heart, left everything to follow Christ. So God can and will transform the brokenness on display in this world. Let us not forget what happened. Join ourselves fully to the transformation that Christ offers. Turn away from the normalization of violence in your life. Think about the words you're using. Think about the ideas you're spreading. And turn away from the ramping up of hateful speak and embrace the way of Christ. Now, this means giving of ourselves fully, committing ourselves just as those early disciples who were women did in Jesus' time. Because I'm not going to sit here and act like I understood why that guy did what he did in Vegas, that I have an answer, and I'm not sure any laws are going to stop that guy from doing that. But I do know as a society that we need to change. And it starts with us, the people who claim to be Christians, faithful people. So now is your chance. Go all in, just as these women did for Jesus' ministry. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.